is near. That's the way to live, on the edge of the eternal. Be clear-minded, he says, and self-controlled so that you can pray. Great advice, isn't it, as we look forward with the uncertainty of the world in which we live. What are we to be like as Christians? Well, we are to be clear-minded, but we have the Word of God, and that's to be upon our hearts and in our minds. And we need to be self-controlled, not going crazy, but we also need to pray. And as we are clear-minded and self-controlled, we can and should pray. And then he says in verse 8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. And if anyone provides, if anyone serves, Mr. Line, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the godly and the sinner? The ungodly and the sinner. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Well, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Just a few verses from Psalm 71. If you were with us last Sunday evening, this is where we turn to. And we're looking at being a people of hope. God's people are a people of hope. And the psalmist in Psalm 71, in verse 14, says, "As for me, but as for me, I will always have hope." And we reminded ourselves in that opening phrase, "but as for me," that if we're going to be Christians in this world, we're going to live a life that is different, that is, in effect, swimming against the tide, a different way of living, a different way of focusing. "But as for me, I will always have hope." But the psalmist goes on then to say, "I will praise you more and more." "But as for me, I will praise you more and more." And just to highlight a couple of the verses from the Psalms on this theme of praise, the psalmist says, "You've been my hope from birth. I've relied upon you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you." And at the end of the psalm, "I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I'll sing praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you. I whom you have redeemed, my tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. For those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion." And so alongside this hope comes this note of praise. And believers, in 2019, we need to be a people of hope, but we also need to be a people of praise. And that's what I want us to think about together in this time we have this evening. It's that time of year, the Golden Globes, the Oscars, a time of recognition, saying to those actors, well done, lovey, and patting them on the back, good show, and all the rest of it. It's that time of year where people are desperately looking for some sort of recognition, some acknowledgement to have made it in their field of expertise. And it's not just on screen and stage that that happens. There's other times of year, perhaps, for other professions as well. You know, it's nice to know that you're appreciated, isn't it? It's nice to know that somebody can take a moment and say, well, you know, that was good. Thank you for doing that. Just an acknowledgement, a little bit of praise can be appropriate. Of course, too much praise, well, that's flattery, and it's not nice, is it? It's kind of stifling to be told, oh, that's good, and not to be able to do anything unless you're told it's good. That's a terrible way to live and a terrible way to be. I've mentioned to you before, my father-in-law has an MBE. Nobody else in my family, as far as I know, has ever reached such dizzy heights. And he has the certificate and the photographs and everything to prove it. And I don't, I don't begrudge him that. He worked very hard in his working career. Specific line of work acknowledged by, the Queen, or Prince Charles, I think it was. But recently I heard him talking about this and talking about somebody else who he knew who got an MBE as well. And he mentioned somebody else who was in the queue with him going up for an MBE for services to hedgehogs. And when I heard that, that really did take the shine off the award. I mean, you know, with great respect for those who love hedgehogs, but services to hedgehogs. And he was talking about the man he had a tie with hedgehogs on. But I just thought that seemed to belittle, you know, the acknowledgement, the accolade, when that's what it was for. It's nice when people acknowledge a job well done. How much more important is it that we praise the Lord in everything, for all that the Lord has done, is doing, and has promised to do. It is right and fitting to praise the Lord. I was thinking as we were singing that last hymn, you know, and came out a little bit in the prayer that I prayed, I wonder how many hymns have been sung in this place over the years? You know, how many hearts have been open in praise to the Lord? Not just to sing, but to live in the light of the wonder of the words. And one of the beautiful things is, not that I'm against contemporary hymns, I love the new as well as the old, but when you sing an old hymn, you do look at it and you think, wow, that's been around so long that there would have been people in strange outfits compared to the clothes of today even, you know, singing such a hymn because it's been so long. How much praise has been expressed in the lives of believers, and still is, of course, to this very moment. It's an important part of the Christian life to praise the Lord. It's the right thing to do. But sometimes, I don't know about you, but when it's going tough, you don't feel like it. It's a struggle. You have to bring a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. Well, I want to just, as I say, think about Psalm 71, and that thought of the psalmist bringing more and more praise to the Lord there in verse 14. I will praise you more and more. I'll tell you why that's intriguing. The psalmist in Psalm 71 is basically a full-time worship leader. It's his job. Okay? He writes psalms for a living. He worships God. What a wonderful in the temple. But he's been through circumstances and situations that have just nudged his faith a little bit, and now he says, I'm going to praise you more and more. And we need that sometimes. You know, we don't like hard, difficult circumstances, but we do, when we go through them with the Lord, come out the other side to say, Lord, I want to praise you more and more. And so that's where I want us to focus our attention this evening. First of all, let's think about the provision of praise, the why. Why we praise? Well, as I say, on a human level, you know, it would be a bit of a miserable world if nobody acknowledged anything about anybody. And it's right that we should acknowledge the qualities that we see in others, if only to say, well, God has blessed you and God has given you these great qualities, and we're thankful for that. But to acknowledge God's perfection is truly the right thing to do. Sadly, so often our praise is a little stinting while here on earth. We get our eyes get taken off the Lord, and we don't always acknowledge Him or others in what they do. It was said of the Duke of Wellington, one of his greatest regrets at the end of his life was that he didn't praise his men enough. He won great battles, he won great accolades for himself, but in the cold light of day when he sat down, he'd given the orders, he demanded so much, but he'd never gone and said thank you to those who had served him, and he regretted that to the day he died. It's interesting, isn't it, that in our Bibles we have a book like Revelation that gives us a snapshot of heaven, a perfect place. And what do you see in heaven? Well, it resounds to the praise of our God and Saviour. All that praise that's missing on earth is certainly in full volume there in heaven, in that perfect place. Because so often when sin is around, sin robs us of a relationship with others, but also robs us of really that deeper relationship of praise to the Lord and praise expressed to the Lord. Psalm 150 is the final psalm, isn't it, of the songbook, of the hymn book, of the Bible. And within it, we have a kind of panoramic view of praise. We are to praise because of who the Lord is. Praise the Lord in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Because of who He is and where He is, we are to look up to Him and give Him His rightful place. David it's recorded in 1 Chronicles 16, a psalm of David, where David says, "For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods." Again, an echo of what Moses had said. Who is there like you? There's nobody like you among gods. Distinct, unique, above all others. And in Psalm 150, it goes on to say, we are to praise Him because He acts in history. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Whether it was the Exodus, whether it was other battles, again and again, notes of praise are offered up to the Lord. And when the Lord takes us through things, again, we can express and want to express our praise to Him. In Exodus 15 and verse 2, in a song of Moses and Miriam, "He is my God, and I will praise Him." Though they'd just seen a miraculous miracle for all, "He is my God," says Moses, "and I will praise Him." And then Psalm 150 goes on to speak about praising the Lord with the trumpet, as we sang, and the harp, the lyre, the tambourine, dancing, strings, flute, the clash of cymbals, the resounding cymbals. Different cultures worship in different ways. But the wonder is that we can do this through the Lord Jesus. This is the way our praise and worship is acceptable. Without Him, it's just noise. But through Him, there is that wonder, the wonder of praising God, who is truly worthy of praise. The final verse of Psalm 150 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And that leads on not just to the provision of praise for the Lord, but the place of praise, the where and the how. There's a sense in which all of creation gives praise to God all the time anyway. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everything that is living on this planet. Everything that has breath, including you and me. Strange fact, not strange fact, but interesting fact. 17 to 30,000 breaths a day, the average human breathes. Everyone a gift from God. 17,000 to 30,000. Every breath he gives to us. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. In that reading that I read from 1 Peter chapter 4, you may have noted there that, yes, the whole of creation praises God, but you and I are in a unique position to praise God through our faith in the Lord Jesus. And it talks about the Christian life in that chapter and living a life of praise. It talks about speaking, when we speak, bringing forth God's word into the world. An onerous reminder for the preacher this evening. But wherever we share something of our faith, you know, it's not just us mustering together a few little words, but we can speak with that authority and power of the Lord. And when we serve, if that's our gift, if we're not a speaker, we're a server, we're to do it in the strength of the Lord that he provides. And Peter says this, so that in all things, whether speaking or serving or whatever else you're doing, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. So there's a general sense of praise all over creation, but specifically from each believer on this planet tonight, who speaks, who serves, who does what they do in Jesus' name and in the power that Jesus provides. It's giving glory to God in all things that God may be praised. And then, of course, the reading turned a bit sour. Sorry, I didn't read it very well, but it went from speaking and serving to suffering. Oh, okay. One cue for if you'd like to speak, join one queue. If you'd like to serve, join another. If you'd like to suffer, join another. I don't think there'd be any in the suffering queue. But strangely, what does Peter say? That if you suffer, and you suffer because of your faith, you're actually bringing praise and glory to God. Praise God that you bear that name. That even the suffering, the opposition, the difficulties bring glory and honour and praise to our Saviour's name. In all that we do, if done for the Lord, it can be an act of praise, our lives lived in worship. And so the psalmist in Psalm 34 says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Now, as I say, if you were a temple worship leader, that verse is very true because you went to work and that's what you did. You sang the praises of God. It doesn't sound like a proper job, does it, really? I'm sure there were other parts to the job, but particularly the Levites in the temple courts, they were singers. They were the worship leaders of the day, preparing songs for the people and helping the people worship and focus on the Lord. But then we see the progression of praise in the when of praise. I will ever praise you, it says, declaring your splendor all day long. Well, some of us have got busy lives, we've got things to do. But even in the midst of our daily duties, we can always focus on the Lord. Don't have to sing a song. It might not be appropriate on the bus. It might be. But from your heart, you can praise the Lord. Now, as I said in Psalm 71, the psalmist speaks about the harp and the lyre, his lips and his tongue. He is a professional singer and musician. But he does then go on and make the point, as for me, I will praise you more and more. Not less and less. His circumstances have been difficult. Let me remind you what we said last week. He was opposed by many. Life was tough. In fact, he saw, you know, he had to conclude that the Lord had allowed this to happen in his life. He was struggling with it. But he said, I'm not going to lose hope because the Lord is the sovereign Lord. He's in control. And I'm going to praise. And more than, I'm going to praise more and more. I'm not going to have that praise robbed from my heart. And that's something to think about in our own circumstances, that we can ever and should ever praise the Lord. And as we find out more about the Lord and know him more in our lives, we should praise him more and more. The psalmist reveals that as he reflects on the Lord, he's praising God for what he has done, and he's praising God for his faithful protection of him in his circumstances. And if he'd not been going through this tough time, certainly that last part, he probably would not have focused on. God's faithful protection is an ongoing thing, but we don't always know it, we don't always appreciate it until we go through a tough, challenging time. You know, we should praise God more as we increase our understanding of the wonders of his ways. And I wonder if that is your experience tonight. That's the challenge for us, to praise the Lord. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'm thinking of the end of Habakkuk and Habakkuk's, you know, confession that things are not the way they should be. There's no figs on the trees. There's nothing. It seems barren. It seems empty. It's hard and harsh. But yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will not just pick and choose. I will not just have a happy moment when things are fine. But I will praise the Lord through all things, in all circumstances. And I think really, if we can do that, it tells us, it shows us where we are in our faith. That we're not, he loves me not. I'll praise him not. But I will praise, and I'll praise him more and more, in spite of what is going on, pushing through, depending upon him in our relationship with him. One of the advantages of being this side of Calvary is, of course, that we can always have a fixed point in history where we see the love of God so evident for us to reflect upon. In Psalm 150 or Psalm 71 or any time before Calvary, you know, yes, they'd seen God at work in all sorts of ways, but they didn't fully see what salvation was going to be like. But for you and for me, through the Lord Jesus Christ, as Hebrews 13 puts it, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Whatever the circumstances, whether it's a tough Monday morning or not, what Calvary has done for us will always stand over Monday mornings and will enable us to praise and worship the Lord. I love the way E.E. Hewitt has it in his hymn, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. Because when you see more of Jesus, there's more praise in our hearts when we see what he has done for us. The progression of praise. How do you see it in your own life? Are you praising the Lord more now than ever before? Or did you once praise him more? Perhaps when the circumstances were a little better than perhaps they are today. Surely through Calvary, surely we need to praise him constantly, continually, offering that sacrifice of praise. And that brings me to my final point this evening. The power of praise. There's a strange thing here, because, of course, praise is what we offer to God. It is His by right. We're not giving so that He will give it to us in a backhanded sort of way. But strangely, as you praise God, you do receive. That's the truth of the matter. Because when you praise, you take the focus off yourself and put it on God. And when you do that in this self-consumed world, that changes perspective on things. Praise brings us to that place of humility. Praise brings us to that place of trust in God, in His greatness, in what He can do. So hope and praise go together. We hope in the Lord, and as we praise Him, it gives us more hope because we realize such a great God we serve and live our lives for. What a God, so far above anything of man. Yet He is mindful of man. His thoughts, though, are beyond our understanding. But as we focus upon the Lord, as I say, as we give Him our praise, with our focus upon Him, it's very hard then to complain and to be negative when you're looking into the face of the One who has blessed you and loves you and has saved you and has given you a wonderful future. It's hard to say, oh, but by the way, this is not very good. When we're looking lost in wonder, love and praise, we have to trust that the not very good is being worked out for our good and for His purposes. When we praise God, we invite God's presence. And God's presence refreshes us and renews us, according to the Psalms. You are enthroned on the praises of Israel, said the psalmist. You will fill me with joy in your presence. And so we might go to the Lord with a sacrifice of praise and a heavy heart, but there is joy to be found in His presence. We give, but we receive so much more as we praise the Lord. And there are a number of illustrations and examples in Scripture, and they'll come to mind. Let me just bring two of them to you. Where when someone praised God, something dramatic happened. Think about Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail, in the jail, singing hymns of praise before that earthquake ever took hold. And the impact of it was felt in the church at Philippi for years afterwards. Praise paves the way for God's power to be displayed. Now, there's a danger here. I'm not saying we need to sing for 3 hours and then stand back like having lit a firework and see what God will do. I don't believe we should ever test God in that way. But the truth of the matter is that once, if we give ourselves to the Lord in praise, He can take our situation and make of our situation what He wants to do. Another example is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In the days of Jehoshaphat, the army of the Lord went into battle. What, waving swords and shouting? No, singing. Singing of the love of the Lord, singing of the faithfulness of the Lord. They went forward and the Lord routed their enemies. God's power came through on the back of their trust and their praise in the Lord. So in a sense, praise is as much for you as it, and me as it is for God. We give our praise to God. But He blesses us as we give ourselves to Him. He doesn't need our praise. It's not something that makes God God, He is who He is. But as we praise Him, He's made us, He knows, our needs are met when we praise Him. And of course, He is rightfully honoured. As we said from the beginning, that's the way it should be. So in 2019, whatever the circumstances bring, and I'm no prophet to tell you what's going to happen this year, personally or in church life, we're trusting the Lord, we're hoping in the Lord, and we are praising the Lord. And we can praise the Lord through things as well, because the Lord is faithful and true, and we can depend upon Him in everything. So take this verse in Psalm 71 and verse 14 to heart. But as for me, make it personal, I will praise you more and more. Ill health, difficult circumstances, needing wisdom for the way to go and all the rest of it, all these things that we've got coming up, but I will praise you more and more. I'll praise you for Calvary, Lord. I'll praise you for your victory over sin and death. I'll praise you for giving the Holy Spirit to us. I'll praise you for these things that are set in the history of the church. And I'll praise you for what you've done in my life and you're doing in our church together. The why of praise, because He is worthy. The how of praise, well, you can sing, but you can speak to His praise, you can serve to His praise, you can suffer to His praise. Where? In God's presence in heaven, of course, but everywhere we can sing His praise. When? More and more. There's the challenge. Not less and less. Not, oh, there's not many here tonight. I don't feel it's better when there's more. You know, it is better when there's more. We're encouraged, our hearts are lifted. But the Lord is always with us. And we need to give Him more and more praise as we grow in appreciation of who He is and what He's done. Let me finish by asking a question. Seems a little strange. If your praise was a radio signal, what would the volume and frequency of your praise be? If your praise was a radio signal, what would the volume be? And what would the frequency be? May it be a higher frequency and a higher volume, for He is worthy to be praised. Amen.